gathered by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فقال إنه لم يكن نبي قبل إلا كان حقا عليه أن يدل أمته على خير ما يعلمه لهم. He said, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then addressed us. We all came by him and he addressed us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there wasn't any Nabi before me except that it was his right, or it was right upon him, that he guided the people towards right in what he knew that was right. وَيُنْذِرَهُمْ شَرَّ مَا يَعْلَمُهُ شَرٌ يَعْلَمُ لَهُمْ. And he would warn them in what he knew that was evil and harmful for them. He would warn them that be careful of this. Therefore you find that every Nabi would warn his people about the coming of Dajjal. Every Nabi would warn his people about the coming of Dajjal. Ulama explained one of the reasons why. It wasn't such that Dajjal was supposed to come in the latter part of this ummah, but the Nabis of that time were warning them. One of the hikmats and one of the reasons is people had the opportunity to make shukr. Allah Pak had saved them from the fitna of Dajjal. So that such a great fitna it would be, such a great fitna, that so many people are given the chance of actually making shukr that Allah Pak had saved us from the fitna of Dajjal. So therefore every Nabi would warn the people of what they knew that was harmful for them. وَإِنَّ أُمَّتَكُمْ هَذِهِ جُعِلَ عَافِيَتُهَا فِي أَوَّلِهَا. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is telling Sahaba that even this ummah of ours, the first part of it, the first part of the ummah, has been linked with ease and has been linked with protection. وَسَيُسِيبُ آخِرُهَا بَلَاءٌ وَأُمُورٌ تُنْكِرُونَهَا. And the latter part of this ummah will see a lot of trials, afflictions and things that they don't like, you don't like. وَتَجِيءُ فِتْنَةٌ يُرَقِّقُ بَعْضُهَا بَعْضًا. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam predicted that trials will come, tests will come, difficulties will come one after the other. Each one will seem worse than the one before it. وَتَجِيءُ الْفِتْنَةُ فَيَقُولُ الْمُؤْمِنُ هَذِهِ مُهْلِكَتِي ثُمَّ تَنْكَشِفُ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, the fitna will come, a person will see, this trial is going to finish me up. So then the trial will come, that trial will go away. Then, وَتَجِيءُ الْفِتْنَةُ فَيَقُولُ الْمُؤْمِنُ هَذِهِ وَهَذِهِ. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, then that one will go away, another trial will come to me. And when this trial comes, then this person will say, no, this one is it. This one is the trial that's going to finish me up. It will be so difficult. فَمَنْ أَحَبَّ. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam doesn't only warn the people what's going to happen, but then he's showing the way out, easy way out. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, فَمَنْ أَحَبَّ أَن يُزَحْزَحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَيُدْخَلِ الْجَنَّةِ فَلْتَأْتِهِ مَنِيَّتُهُ وَهُوَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, whoever wishes that he be saved from the fire of Jahannam and this person enters Jannat, then he should ensure that his maut comes whilst he believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last day. So the first thing we should do is ensure that we die as a mu'min. Great, great, great. The Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi, he was in Madina Sharif, great muhaddis, great alim, great sufi. He would ask the cleaners there in the haram, he would beg them, sometimes they would come to visit him for ziyarah, they would come for duas. He would tell them that you are serving the royal court. You are the people working in the royal court. And then he would tell them that you people, please make this one dua for me. That make dua that I die upon iman. Man is such a great person, and his fikr is that I die upon iman. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that first thing a person should ensure that he dies upon iman. He dies in such a condition that he believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he believes in akhirat, etc. وَلْيَأْتِ إِلَى النَّاسِ الَّذِي يُحِبُّ أَن يُؤْتَى إِلَيْهِ. The next thing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying is that you treat people like how you would like people to treat you. How you would like people to treat you, that's how you treat people. How you would like if you were a staff and your boss, how you would like your boss to treat you, that's how you treat your employees. Similarly, is how you would like, I gave example yesterday, a person goes to the toilet, how you would like to find a public toilet when he goes, he likes to find it clean. And he should ensure that he leaves it clean. How he would like when he gets to his car after Salah that the car is not blocked, so we should ensure that we don't block somebody else's car. So like that, whatever we like for ourselves, we should like it for the next person. So this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, that treat people like how you would like people to treat you. وَمَنْ بَايَعْ إِمَامًا فَأَعْطَاهُ صَفْقَةَ يَدِهِ وَثَمَرَةَ قَلْبِهِ. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is talking about loyalty here. He says that person that has given his clasp of his hand to somebody, he has pledged allegiance to somebody, meaning the leadership, and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he has given him the essence of his heart, he has pledged that loyalty from his heart. فَلْيُطِعَهُ إِنِ اسْتَطَاعَ. Then he must obey to the extent that he can. فَإِنْ جَاءَ آخَرْ يُنَازِعُهُ فَضْرِبُ عُنُقَ الْآخَرْ. And then if somebody else now comes, and this person tries to take over that leadership and tries to cause some kinds of differences in the Muslim country by trying to take over that leadership. Now everyone has already pledged allegiance, and this person is not a sinful person, he's not commanding the people towards haram, then you should pledge allegiance. So this was the third advice Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave. Such beautiful advices. First one, believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Next one is treat people like how you'd like people to treat you. And the third one is, once you have given that allegiance, then be 100% true. Be 100% true to the allegiance you give, to such an extent that you prepare to defend that person also, that somebody else is trying to take over that type of position. So this hadith, from this hadith we learn how important it is that a person always is careful about akhirat, he's careful about the way he treats people, and he's careful about the level of loyalty. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll do another hadith. I'll just mention one quick incident. The Jamaat that was here this few days back, so that UK brother was mentioning. So he said that a few years back I went to America. And when I went to America, then I found something very strange. At every masjid I went to, that the imam there, or every second masjid I went to, the imam there was not a born Muslim. So he was born a non-Muslim, he was a revert, then he went and studied and he became some type of alim, and then he came and now he was leading the congregation. And yet behind him you're getting thousands and thousands of people that were born Muslim, but they were just continuing as far as their dunya is concerned, their work is concerned, they just come for the salah and they go. But these people, I'm looking that they were not born Muslim, but yet they took such an interest in Islam that they went and became like the imams of the area. So he said one person was giving his incident, one alim in the masjid, it was the Jummah time. So he said when he was giving his incident, everyone was crying. So he mentioned the story of himself, that person was born, that American that was born a non-Muslim. He was giving an incident. He said, I was the head of a certain bank in America. And I had a very high position being the head there. I had a very, very respectable position. And then I got interested in Islam. And when I got interested in Islam, then I realized, I accepted Islam, and I realized that interest in Islam is something that don't go together. So he said that I went and asked the scholars, and most of the people told me, you know what, keep your job, there's no need for you to lose your job. But I thought to myself, if interest is such a bad thing, how can I ever be involved in it? He gave up his job despite what the scholars told him. He said, I realized that this is nothing, this is something not for me. So when he gave up that, so he's, and he said, most people, the situation is their cars are on bond, they are on interest, their houses are on interest, even the schooling and the thing that they use to supplement the income, that's all from the bank. So he said, I lost my cars, I lost my home, to such an extent now I had to take my children out of private schools. So he then said that it was a difficult time for me, so what I did is around the time of Hajj, I borrowed some money from somebody, and I said, let me go for Hajj. And when I go for Hajj, I'm going to make one dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, that all this money that I've lost, this haram wealth that I've lost, you all, Allah, you replace the thing with halal wealth. So that's one dua that I'm going to make there. So he said, I left and I went. And when I was in front of Baytullah, he said, I was few safs behind the Kaaba Sharif. Just few safs, not right in front. But I was standing up before Salah and I was making dua. He said, I was crying and making dua, and the guard saw me from the front. So the guard told me that, Sheikh, come right by the Kaaba Sharif and make dua. So he said, I thought the guard was talking to somebody else. He couldn't be addressing me. So I carried on with my dua. And suddenly that guard, he cut through the safs. He came by my hand and he pulled me. And he took me right to the front of the Kaaba. And he told me, make your dua here. Whatever dua you want to make, make it here. So he said, I picked up my hand again to make dua. And as I picked up my hand, one Arab youngster tapped me on my hand. And I looked at this youngster and I saw he was about 16 years or 17 years old. His beard also didn't even start growing properly. So the Arab youngster told me, oh Sheikh, make dua for me first before you make dua for yourself. So he asked this Arab youngster, he said, tell me, what dua do you want? You're asking me to make dua for you. What dua you want? So that youngster told him that I'm going for jihad. Make dua, I become a shaheed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he thought to himself that such a young boy is asking for such a dua. So he told that boy that I'm not going to make that dua for you. I'm going to make dua. Allah Pak gives you a long life. Allah Pak blesses you such that you can help and you can assist people and you'll be a benefit to people. He said that boy got upset with me. He told me, oh Sheikh, if you're going to curse me in front of the Kaaba, then I will also curse you in front of the Kaaba. I want to die as a shaheed in the path of Allah and you making dua that I must live long. So he said those words of that boy struck me so heavy. That this man came so far to make dua for what, and what did I come to make dua for? I came to make dua for wealth, and this man came to make dua to become shaheed. He said, I changed my dua immediately. But instead of me coming all the way to come ask for dunya, I also asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I said, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you grant me your knowledge of deen and you make it such that I can use that knowledge of deen. He said, from that trip Allah Pak had given him the tawfiq of becoming an alim, he went and became an alim and now he's serving that community in America. He said that one boy showed me that this is where our real focus should be. Our real focus should be in akhirat and how we live our life. It's not so much how we live the life, but how we live this life. So therefore, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was telling him in this hadith also, that try to see that ensure that you can live your life in such a condition that you live as a believer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.